All right, this message is a little bit of a follow-on from last week's message. So if you didn't get an opportunity to be here, can I just encourage you to go on our website, because the message from last week is on there. And I wanted to just share around the whole thought that in this season, I have a sense that a number of people right across, not just our church, but the church, or right across Christianity as a whole, are struggling with faith, maybe feeling like, is God even there? Struggling with hope, struggling with love. And so I just wanted to continue to invite us to explore what does it look like to be really real about the stuff that's going on in our hearts and allow God access to that. So as I start, we're going to share communion as part of the message today, but as I start, I really wanted to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to be the loudest voice in our hearts this morning. So if you would like to hear from God this morning and to open your heart, can I just invite you to put your hand on your own heart, and I'm going to pray for us. Holy Spirit, we do need to hear from you this morning. We're inviting your voice to be the loudest one that our hearts receive today. Amen. All right. So, as we think about what it looks like to be in a place of struggle, maybe to be struggling with hope or love or faith, in some ways we actually find ourselves sometimes struggling with life itself, struggling to find meaning, struggling to find purpose. Maybe we have a sense of lack, a sense of hunger or thirst, a kind of a dissatisfaction, a need for more. And we find ourselves in a place of searching. I think that if you're here this morning, I'm going to suppose that maybe one of the places that you're looking is from God and from His Word. And so I'm going to sort of direct our thoughts to a part of God's Word, which is actually the foundation of our church culture, which is Isaiah 55. And I'm going to invite you to come on a journey over the next weeks. I mentioned this last week, but we're just going to unpack the first little section of this chapter. And it's a chapter of invitation. And this is what God is saying to the Israelite people who are struggling and feeling distant and feeling like there's a lack. God's saying, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what's not bread and your labour on what doesn't satisfy? Listen to me, eat what's good and you'll delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, listen that you may live. This is an invitation to life itself. Listen that you may live. Just take a moment, just sit with that. There is a journey of coming that we're being invited into. A journey where our thirst has the possibility of being quenched. So, we're just going to unpack that a little bit. And we're going to explore what it might look like to start that journey of coming. And the first question that I want to ask is, what are we thirsty for? Thirsty for what? Because we see from that passage that it's possible to spend our whole life going after what does not satisfy. You know, God is saying to the Israelites, why spend your money on what doesn't satisfy? What are you actually after this morning? What do you think is going to make a difference in your life, in my life? What do we want? Do we want a quiet life? Who wants a quiet life? Come on, be honest, yes. Maybe some of you just want to make the pain go away. Maybe some of us want more stuff. We might want some success or achievement. We might want someone to love us or to be in a relationship. I want to suggest, though, that if the hunger that God's talking about is material, is about things, then all the people with lots of things would be very satisfied, wouldn't they? Who knows that people with lots of things are not necessarily satisfied? So what if our hunger isn't going to be satisfied with things? What if our hunger is for relationships, for people? I just need someone to love me. I just need a partner. I just need kids. I just need. How many people have had that one person in their life and turned out to be not the person who satisfied? They fell in love, but it didn't work out. Or they had a child, and it was disappointing. Nobody's ever been disappointed with their children, have they? Like, if people were going to satisfy us, we would have been satisfied by now. Because the thirst we have isn't satisfied by material things, and it's not satisfied by relationships, as important as those things are. The thirst that God is talking about is actually a thirst of our spirit. And you can't satisfy the spirit by material things. We have to get past things. And so many people have spent their life going after things, those very things from Isaiah 55 that God said, why spend your money on what doesn't satisfy? So we're being asked, what are we thirsty for? What are you thirsty for today? What do you think is going to make you happy? Can I just ask you to ask yourself that question? Actually, look at the person next to you. Just take a minute, look at the person next to you and ask them, what on earth is going to make you happy? Be brave, be brave. What on earth is going to make you happy? Maybe it's not on earth that's going to make you happy. What on earth is going to make you fulfilled? Because the thirst we feel is actually spiritual, and it needs a spiritual solution. It has to do with meaning and purpose and truth and life itself. And Jesus consistently picked up this theme that we have a hunger and thirst for true life, and we have a dissatisfaction or a thirst that is actually pursuing that deeper meaning, the spiritual meaning. Here's some things that Jesus said when he made some extraordinary claims and some extraordinary invitations. Here's just a few of the things he said. He says to a woman who's at the well, a Samaritan woman who comes for physical water, he says, everyone who drinks this water, water from the well, will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become a spring in them, a spring of water welling up to eternal life. What about this one? For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life. There it is again, life, life, life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. And Jesus declared, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And then he says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they may have and have it to the full. Here is Jesus with his invitation to bring your thirst to him, because he does have life that's not just material or not just relational. It is actually life to the full. Okay, so there is a journey of coming that we're going to explore. And it's not neat or linear, and it's only partial, but I'm just going to put up some thoughts about some of the things that happen as we begin to explore this journey of what it means to come to Jesus. I want to suggest here is, and it's not linear necessarily, it's not like you go through each of these steps, but these are all parts of what coming looks like. Coming looks like facing the truth about what's happening in our heart and our life with honesty, courage, and vulnerability. It's around recognizing the true nature of our thirst or our need. It's around abandoning our own solutions and actually coming to Jesus, believing his word and promises, and waiting and receiving what we can't see, because you can't see the spiritual as such, and we can't control it. There's many, many challenges right at that very beginning, facing the challenges of what's truly going on in our hearts. That is such a scary thing to do. And I have so much admiration for people who are willing to go on that journey, because I've watched it over many years. I've done that journey and am still doing it. Nobody arrives at this journey. I've done it myself and I'm still doing it. And I have so much admiration for people who are willing to go there, because it's incredibly challenging. If you want to go on a deep, genuine heart journey, you will have to deal with at least two big obstacles. They'll come up every time you try to have a really good look inside your heart. And the two big obstacles you will trip over every time, one is pride and one is fear. And they're both put there by the enemy to stop you getting to what's really going on. Pride looks like, oh, I've just got to do more, try harder. That's one of the manifestations of pride. I can get myself back in a good space if I just try harder, get myself together. Pride also looks like judgment of others. It looks like, oh, I'm glad I'm not like them. At least I'm not like them. It looks like accusation, criticism. It looks like pointing the finger at somebody else, and causes us to always be unwilling to see that same problem in ourselves. That's some of the things that pride looks like. Fear looks like, oh, I can't stop. I can't be real. I can't go there. What if it's so messy? If I start being real about it, when does it stop? Might be out of my control. Or it might be, what will other people think if I start saying what's really going on? But God's purpose in inviting us to be true and real with what's going on in our hearts is not shame, and it's not condemnation. I love that God's purpose is always healing and forgiveness and freedom. God doesn't want you owning and pulling stuff out of your heart so he can point the finger and say, yeah, you're a bad person. Fancy thinking that. Fancy believing that. Fancy doing that. That's shameful. That's the enemy's work there. God's invitation is to come and own it, because he has something else to do. He has that invitation to freedom, to healing, and to forgiveness. He wants to do that in our lives, but we can't bring to him what we don't want to see and don't want to acknowledge. We just can't do it. Now, I know that many of you here have already come to Jesus empty, and you've received his life. You are new creations, born again. You are saints. you were sinners, you are now saints because you're new creations. You've believed in Jesus and trusted in him. And I know that many of you are followers of Jesus, but there are still places of freedom that our hearts need to experience. Even if you've been walking with Jesus 50 years, there's still places of freedom that you and I need to experience in our hearts. I had an example of this in my own life just this last couple of weeks. I found myself frustrated, grumpy, and disappointed. You can't imagine that, can you? You've never been that? Well, I was, and I just lived with it. I lived with a sense of frustration, grumpiness, and disappointment over a particular issue. And I didn't even kind of realise that that was what was going on. That was just what was happening in my heart. And I finally, one of my journaling sessions with God, I just said, what is going on with that? Why am I so frustrated and disappointed about this thing that's happened? And I felt like God said, actually, because part of, like, my frustration was always with other people, you know, those people that you don't have in your life. And I felt like God said, well, actually, you're afraid. And you're embarrassed. Oh, okay. And you're afraid of what other people will think. And he invited me to give those things to him. Because all the time that I was looking out there and pointing the finger at other people, God was wanting to bring me back to here to say, you're not responsible for other people's choices or what they're doing, but you're responsible for what's going on here. And you can't change other people's choices, but you can change, with my help, what's going on here and how you respond to that. And his invitation was to be real. And I couldn't get his healing into my heart until I'd got beyond blaming someone else and got to actually letting God have access to what was going on for me. Does that make sense? So God is inviting us to face the truth about what is going on in our own hearts. It's scary. It's frustrating. It might be embarrassing. And his invitation for me was to forgive the people who had disappointed me. Oh, again, God. Oh. But forgiveness is such a freeing thing to do. And the reality is we are safe to be real with Jesus. His heart towards us is for healing, forgiveness, and freedom when we own what is really going on for any of us. The scripture says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Why? So that you can be healed. That's how God's invitation is wired. So that's for many of us here. We know what it is to be born again. We know what it is to have the Spirit of God in us. And so he's just doing little cleanups along the way as we go because he wants us to experience freedom. There may be some here who've never come thirsty or empty to Jesus, who've never acknowledged their need for forgiveness and the fact that they can't save themselves. If you today want the life that Jesus is offering, that full life, that invitation for you is also here today. If you hear Jesus saying, come to me, you can come because he said, if anyone is thirsty, and that's a beautiful invitation. One of the things I want to do today is just share the opportunity to have communion together. I'm going to invite Helen and Nikki to just share the elements. If you would like that, they will just come past you. If you would like to take communion today, just indicate to them and they'll give you one of these small cups, and just take it and hold it at the moment, because we're going to share it together in a little while. In this journey, we've just said, okay, what is it that is really going on in my heart today? In a moment, I'm going to ask you to just sit. This is the symbol of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. So as you, we're not going to open it yet or take it, because we're actually going to do that at the end of the service, but I just want you to have that in your hand as a symbol of the presence of Jesus with you now. And as we come and we seek to be real with God this morning, I'm just going to invite you to ask that question of God today. What is one place in my heart that you want to bring freedom or healing to today? Or another way to say that is, what do you need me to be real about today? Holy Spirit, we're inviting your voice to be the voice we hear now as we just sit with this. I'm just going to give you a couple of minutes. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak to pride and to fear and say, you go in the name of Jesus. I feel like some people just need to own, Jesus, I'm feeling it really, like it's really hard to believe you at the moment. Or maybe it's really hard to trust you. Or perhaps it's really hard to forgive that person who's hurt or disappointed me. I feel like some people might even need to say, God, it's really hard to feel anything at the moment. I'm just feeling numb. It's a beautiful thing that God does not leave us just in our place of thirst, just in that place of owning our brokenness or our sin or our thirst or our need, our lack. He doesn't leave us there. He's so kind. He's so good. He has made promises through Jesus that he will meet us. He will fill us when we come thirsty. He will even bring us to that place where we overflow, because we are so full of who he is to us. In John 7, Jesus spoke these beautiful words. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. Wherever your heart is today, wherever you are, if you want to be able to believe that those words of Jesus are true, you can just come now and listen and receive from him. You don't have to have it all worked out. You don't have to have it sorted. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to just take the little wafer from the top of your cup and eat the wafer and drink the wine. They are the symbol of, they're the expression of coming to Jesus with whatever lack it is that you've owned in your heart. It's just beautiful. that he wants to meet with you today. His blood was shed for your forgiveness. And his body was broken. His stripes, the whipping on his back was for your healing, for my healing, for my forgiveness. You don't have to have an answer. You don't have to have it worked out. The invitation today is to simply come and say, Jesus, I come in this place of thirst. There's a beautiful hymn that has a line in it that God has spoken to me many, many times. It's that line that says, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to your cross I cling. And if you're in a place of just needing Jesus to be real to you today, can I invite you to spend the next few minutes just coming to Jesus the best way you know how? Just come real. And put a question up on the board, up on the screen, and just invite you to spend the next couple of minutes just with you and Jesus. Let go of my soul and trust in him. Father, we just hand over our need for control. We hand over our need to try and make you do things in our lives. We simply receive your grace, the finished work that you offer on the cross, your body broken, your blood shed, and the hope of your resurrection. As we die to self, we find ourselves wonderfully, strangely, beautifully reborn into hope, into love, and into faith. Father, for all of us, wherever we are on the journey, I am asking that you would help us to be real with you, that you would help us to hear your voice above fear, above pride, and that you'd take us by the hand and journey with us, that we wouldn't spend our lives looking for satisfaction in things that can never satisfy, that you would take us on the journey of deeply, genuinely finding our life and our satisfaction afresh in you, our hope, our strength, our comfort. Over your people, I declare you are the true water of life, Jesus. Your promise is true. We will find life when we come to you. Amen. I'm going to do is just put up that verse from Isaiah, those verses from Isaiah again, and just allow you to sit as much as you are able to or would like to, just to sit with those three verses from Isaiah 55. Thanks. And just want to invite you, if there's something that God's been speaking to you about and you'd like someone to pray with you, sometimes speaking that out or having someone to stand with you in prayer, to say, look, I'm just really struggling here, or here's where I'm at. Just want to make that invitation to you as we just finish the service. Thanks for being part of what God's doing. I believe that as scary as sometimes that heart journey is, it's the only place to go if we want to come out the other side and experience the fullness, the genuine fullness of who God is. So thanks for being brave, coming on the journey, and